Anybody going to watch any football this afternoon? It's always amazing how professional football has evolved. I remember as a teenager, football was always around, college football, but professional football really wasn't in the focus of the mainstream people. We had professional football teams there in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania called the Caps. And they used to enjoy going. You know, they did it for the love of the game, but they got paid a little bit of money. But now we have something called the Super Bowl. And it's become like an American tradition. And so we're going to look at these playoff games. Now, I got a couple little things that I'm passionate to. Philadelphia Eagles. I was raised in Pennsylvania. The Jacksonville Jaguars, which is one of our local teams. And so, you know, I'm going to be rooting for them. But we don't know how it comes out. Who makes less mistakes or whatever. It's really a neat thing. But I'm going to share with you a scripture first from Mark chapter 1. Verses 14 through 20. In Mark's gospel, it's an action gospel. It's a gospel that lets us put flesh basically onto Jesus as it comes through us through the scriptures. No genealogies, none of that. It's just plain scripture from Mark telling us about the life of Jesus Christ and how we can have a relationship with Him. In Mark's Gospel in chapter 1, it starts out with John the Baptist preparing the way. And then it goes on to the baptism of Jesus. And then I was talking to the young people about the temptation of Jesus. Jesus also needed people to help him with his ministry while he was here on this earth. And that's where I'll pick it up in Mark's Gospel, starting at verse 14 through 20. Later on, after John was arrested by Herod Antipas, Jesus went to Galilee to preach God's good news. The Red Letter Edition lets us know that these particular words are from Jesus. At last the time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Truth from your sins and believe in this good news. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shores of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew fishing with a net, for they were commercial fishermen. Jesus called out to them, "Come, be my disciples, and I will share with you how to fish for people." And they left their nets and at once went with him. A little farther down the shoreline, Jesus saw Zebedee, the son of James, and John in a boat mending their nets. He called them too, and immediately they left their father Zebedee in the boat, which was filled with hired men, and went with Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And you might wonder, why in the same way are you talking about football and the Super Bowl? How does that relate to Mark's gospel? There was a young man some years ago that, by the name of Lamar Hunt, who started the American Football League, or we now know it as the AFC. And he was walking through his home one day, and he came across one of his daughter's toys. And this little toy was called Super Ball. Not Super Bowl, but Super Ball. At that moment, he was given an inspiration for the name of a championship game that they had set up between the AFL and the NFL, which we now know to be the Super Bowl. And he thought to himself, that's what we need to call our championship game, the Super Bowl. The name caught on quickly, as we know, and thus an American tradition was born. A lot of us in the Tallahassee area especially like football and enjoy football. And some of you might remember, if you're as old as me, in 1989, most valuable player of the Super Bowl 23 was Jerry Rice. Then there's an interesting story about Jerry Rice, because he was a longtime star of the San Francisco 49ers, considered one of the greatest receivers in football history. And he played for the 49ers about 15 years, from 85 to 2000. Being a famous athlete, you would think that he came from a legendary college, like maybe Florida State or Florida or one of the others. But he didn't. He played for Mississippi Valley State University in Ida Bina, Mississippi. Virtually an unknown school. And somebody asked him one time, why did you attend such an obscure university like Mississippi Valley State? And Jerry Rice responded, well, he said, out of all the big-time schools such as UCLA and all those other ones trying to recruit me, Mississippi Valley State University was the only school to come to my house and give me a personal visit and a personal invitation to come to their school. Big-time schools sometimes, not so much with Florida State and in modern times, but years ago, how they used to recruit was through cards and letters and different things, but now they found out that that's really the way to do it. They go to the recruit's house, they talk to their parents, and they get them to come to that school. And what it does, it makes a difference in this world to meet people eyeball to eyeball and invite them to become a part of something. As Jesus passed along in the Sea of Galilee, the scripture said, he saw Simon and his brother casting a net out into the sea. And he approached them to be a part of his ministry. He went a little further and he saw two more brothers, James and John. He went up to them, extended the same invitation, and they followed. It is the personal touch which attracts us. Cards and letters are nice. They're meaningful. But a personal phone call from somebody wishing you a happy birthday or just a personal visit means a lot. A shake of the hand, a personal touch makes all the difference in the world about a relationship. So it comes down to this, and Tina was talking about the yes. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. It comes down to, okay, I want to do that, but how can I reach other people for Christ? You can do it with a personal touch. I believe that we can do it by getting to understand people and getting to know people. And as I get older, I tend to spiritualize the stories of the Bible less and less and less, and I see the practical side of Jesus' teaching more and more in the calling of these first disciples. The spiritual interpretation might be something like this. Jesus is calling the disciples to be radical discipleship and a life of suffering. Or a practical interpretation of that scripture. The disciples do something radical in quitting their jobs and putting down their nets, but they had no idea what that decision was going to do and how their life was going to be changed. Young people, as I was talking with the young people, and you might even remember back in your youth days, we could never understand the consequences of the things that we did until we grew and we learned about the consequences of our decisions as we grow in grace through the grace and love of the Holy Spirit. So the spiritual interpretation would point out that Jesus calls them out of the world. Jesus said, we're in the world, not of the world. But in this world, you'll have trials and tribulations, but fear not, for I have overcome the world. So the practical interpretation, you would want to add that Jesus meets the people where they are. He talks to these fishermen in a language that they can understand. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They understood that about fishing. Is it any wonder why they left their nets and they followed him immediately? Missionaries have learned a lot over the years. Missionaries used to go to places in the world and they would try to teach the indigenous people English and try to get them to read the scriptures in English. And they come to learn that, no, that's not the way you do it. You need to meet them where they are. You need to be able to understand their language. You'll be able to understand their culture. Because effective evangelism is not impersonal. It's a personal touch of meeting people right where they are. We have a little thing in the Methodist Church now, and it's something called Fresh Expressions. And you'll hear more about this as time goes on. We're going to have a district meeting here in February. I forget the date now, but talking about Fresh Expressions and how we as people of God need to meet people right where they are. not always in the pews of the church, although the church is important because we need the church in order to disciple them and to help them along, but we need to reach them right where they are, just as Andrew and Peter and James and John was moved by a God who spoke their language. The example that I'd like to share is out of a little book called Rethinking the Church. Many of us are old enough to remember the Chevy Nova. I was in the automobile business in M years, and Chevrolet was one of my competitors, and the Nova was a good-selling car. And it became probably one of the best-selling cars that Chevrolet's ever made. Very successful for several years. Then they decided, it's so successful in this country, we need to go throughout the world with this car, especially into the Latin markets. The car in the Latin markets was a complete failure. You know why? When they went out and they started the research to find out why this car wasn't selling in the Latin markets, they were baffled until one day they discovered the answer. In Spanish, the word Nova meant no-go. No-go. The Chevrolet no-go. You're not going to buy a car that says no-go. The chicken people, Purdue Farms, experienced some of the same problems when they were promoting their chicken. They came up with a slogan that was to appeal to women by making men prepare chicken dinners. And the slogan was this: it takes a tough man to make a tender chicken. Well, again, they wanted to reach into the Spanish market, and that slogan translated and announced to the Latin world that it was a virile or a masculine man to make a chicken affectionate. Didn't work so good. But the personal touch is the kind that they had in mind. They wanted to reach others with their product. And it comes down again to that question: how can we reach people for Christ? We can do it by speaking their language and understanding their jobs and taking an interest in their hobbies and speaking to them about their families. And we can do it with a personal touch. I was fascinated in Haiti. When you get off the ship, they have, the ship people especially, have created such a wonderful environment. And they have vendors and different things with all their handmade crafts. And it's really a wonderful thing. And then when you get back further into the real country, you see how hurting the people are. And some of the trinkets and stuff that they sell, they're all handmade. And I got to talking with the one fella, and come to find out that he was a musician in his church. He writes music, he sings, and we got to talking about different things. And the selling of the trinkets went out the window. He got his wallet out. He showed me a picture of his family and a picture of his church. And I had a prayer with him. And then one of the other fellows said, "You're going to pray for me too." And we developed a relationship, a common relationship that only Christ can give. Different color, different culture, different parts of the world, but we had that commonality of the Lord Jesus Christ. The country's still dealing with voodoo and some of the other things, but I'll tell you what, I was so impressed about the faith of the people of Haiti and even in Jamaica. We went over into Mexico and I seen the most beautiful Catholic church, I think, I've ever seen. Spotless, all marble. In the chancel area, they still had the nativity scene up because in some parts of the world, it was still celebrating Christmas. And it was just an amazing thing. None of them spoke English, but we communicated with the love of God through Christ. So how can we reach other people for Christ? Because it's an important part of our world, knowing who the King of Kings is and how we can know the King of the world as we take an interest in them. We should not use some soul-winning canned speeches. They are good sometimes. I got a good friend of mine who has a ministry, a very successful ministry, and they go out into the neighborhoods and so forth and they evangelize people. But they do it with a script. Nothing wrong with the script. And a lot of times people will make a decision for Christ and they get to know him a little bit. But that's not the answer, is using a canned script. You need to share out of your heart with somebody, not trying to coerce them into making a conversion or an experience like that. We need to be able to understand how we can touch someone with our own personal witness and to be able to get them to understand that it's so important to be able to save their soul. And when Jesus introduced himself to these fishermen, he asked them to follow him and make them fishers of men. He didn't say that they would be fishers of men. They were slowly made into disciples over the course of 3 years. Now, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time for the teacher to educate the student. It takes time for somebody to master skills and be able to share that with an apprentice, whether it's an automobile or electrician. The personal touch takes time. Canned approaches promise the success overnight, but the personal approach will give you the joy and the freedom of sharing that love of God. You'll find that if you try it, that the best witnessing happens in the passing moments of a conversation. In other words, you will do the greatest work in the kingdom of God in relatively small ways. I'm thinking of a young woman who lived in the country. She had friends that lived in the city, and they would get together for a tennis match occasionally. And she was able to witness to them in a way that is a little bit different. And she could have said, you know what? I read something in the paper this morning. Or she could have said, you know what? In my devotional this morning, I read something that I want to share with you. Wasn't a soul-winning moment, but it broke down the barriers. It's true that sowing a seed, sometimes a seed takes a while for it to germinate. A simple word that she made in that small motion to her friend opened the door for further conversation about the Lord. Unfortunately, we have been convinced that we have to say something very dramatic or something just, whoa, man, you know, like wisdom coming flowing out of us in order to get people to understand. But more importantly, they need to understand and how our life is, that our life reflects Christ. And sometimes you don't even have to mention him. They just would know you by your presence and how you conduct yourself in this world. We have been convinced, though, that sometimes the dramatic, far-reaching thing is to save somebody's soul. So what do? We say nothing and then we miss the moment where we could use a personal touch and say something small that was potentially a small thing, planting a seed into somebody's life. How can we reach others for Christ? The first meeting of people where they are. That's the most important thing. That's what this Fresh Expression thing is doing. The church people are starting to go to restaurants and tattoo parlors and all kinds of stuff, offering morning worship services right where they are. You can reach others for Christ by finding your calling. People say, oh, I don't have a calling. Yeah, we all have a calling. Now, not everybody is called into full-time ministry, I know that, but we're all ministers of the gospel. Those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are called to minister to one another. Peter was called away from his fishing trade to follow and leaving a craft to others. James and John were called from their family trade, and they gave up the love of family and the love of another for the kind of service that they were given to the Lord. Peter, James, John, called from their fishing nets to work in an everyday world and to go into the world with Christ. Another is Andrew. And sometimes we just need to pick up our nets like Andrew did and serve Christ in his boat. Peter might be asked to stay and do his work in the marketplace. James and John, who God calls, but whom God says, stay in your corporate environment. Share some of your favorite Christian scriptures. Jesus tells a man who had been healed, if you remember the story. He wanted to go with Jesus. He wanted to be a part of it. And Jesus said, no, 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 go back home. The man begged, I want to go with you. And Jesus said, no, go to be with your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has mercy on you. I can't tell you the value of ministry like that. That one man single-handedly changed the town that he was raised in for Christ. He was sent back to be vivid, a walking and living, unanswerable demonstration of what Christ can do for us. How do you know you're called? How do you know what your calling is? People always ask me that. How do I know? I believe this is how you know. Your calling can be found at the corner where you are, where your desires and your needs of the world intersect. It's an age-old question, but a wise minister gave this answer in a little, tiny little book written by Fred Buchner. In his book, Wishful Thinking, said this. He says that a good rule for finding one's vocation is this, our special mission in life, to do what we love to do most. You might be a cook, is what you love to do the most. That becomes your vocation. It opens the doors for other people that you work with to share the love of God. It's a work that the world needs, and it has to be done. Garbage collectors is a vocation that has to be done. Somebody has to do it. And if they have a need and a vocation of helping people to become more organized and separating trash and doing different things, what a perfect place to share the love of God. Your calling is right where you are. There's young people today wondering what their calling is and how you can figure it out. Buchner said that if we only get a real kick out of our work, then we probably met a requirement of understanding what our mission is. He also concluded by saying this, the place that God calls us to is the place where our deepest gladness and the world's deepest hunger are met. The personal touch, meeting of people right where they are, speaking very simple communications and soul-winning moments. Just being there for somebody. Maybe just holding their hand at a funeral or giving them a hug. You see, we can reach the world for Christ in such subtle ways. Don't need a script. You just need a personal witness from your heart of what Christ has done for you or how your family had been touched by tragedies and how Christ was able to help you and your family work through those tragedies. It's a blessing. Say yes to the Lord. It's the personal touch.